This is Lindsay Williams, and you're listening to the Drunkard United Show. Bless your little cotton socks.
See, the whole thing is what this is, isn't it?
Everybody, I'm sure this is. I'm sure people are tuning in very much for the wellness check. We'll be okay. We'll be all right.
I'm not going to be.
Yeah, it's only our second worst loss in Premier League history, so that one still belongs to you. And you know what? It wasn't 9-0 twice. Let's start the show.
Born in the land of Bowie, Maryland. Bred to be a fan of fucking Everton. Punch you in the eye and drink your rye. Sam Houston.
Sam Houston?
Arsenal fans have another Sam. AKA the fucking Gooner Graham. Smells of a lord. Looks great in shorts. Sam Grammy.
Sam Graham.
Fucking United! Fucking United!
Hello and welcome to the DU Football Show, a completely biased recap of the English Premier League as told by two common American schmucks. I'm your host, Sam Houston. That's right, Mr. Graham. I pulled out the big boy, and across the way from me, thriving off of his daughter's pain, apparently.
Yep.
My co-host, Mr. Samuel Graham. How you doing, buddy?
What I needed on Sunday. Somebody else to hurt as bad as I did.
And on the ones and twos, we've got producer Mel. I don't even need to ask. I know how she's fucking doing.
I'm pie-ho silver away, boys.
Yeah, you know, it would be good if there's actually whiskey in the glasses you're holding it up, you know. Atta girl, there we go. We're recording at the DU Public House just outside the nation's capital. You can check us out wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, streaming live every single Monday night. Should you want to chat with us, there is many ways that you can. Mr. Graham, tell the good people how they can get in touch.
Nah, after the last 24 hours, don't fucking talk to us anymore.
You can email us at producermel@gmail.com.
I've been getting absolutely hosed. It's at DU Football Show on all the social medias and DUFootballShow@gmail.com to get in touch via email.
You didn't bring to the game not just the basics of football, no. I believe the basics of life.
Actually, I think that was your voice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, let's, no.
That's not me. We tried in the first half.
They did try.
We tried in the first half. Y'all didn't try at all.
No, not one bit. No, one bit. No. Did get a couple cynical yellows, so at least we're not like the Blaze.
We'll look at
them
when we get there.
Yeah. Sam, myself, both work in the wine and spirit industry and both have a deep, passionate love for all things distilled spirits. So as the red-blooded Americans we are, we vow to have a drink in our hand throughout this show and every single show. Mr. Graham, we are to number two. What are we drinking tonight, sir?
All right, we have Highland Park's Cash Strength Batch Number 4. This one clocks in at a whopping 128.6 proof.
Ooh, Nelly.
Or 64.3% by volume, if you can't do your own maths. Should run you about $100. That's exactly what we paid for it, wholesale, I believe, because we fucking know people.
Mm-hmm.
The panel gave this a 95. It is a single malt scotch. It says Island.
It is.
It's Highland Park on an island. Oh, yeah,
it's
it is.
The
yeah.
Orkney. Yeah, it's all Orkney. The way up north.
Yeah. A giant of... I'm sorry. Your blurb comes from Johnny McCormick. I apologize. A giant of a whiskey with the highest proof ever on our top 20 list. And it's surprising that it's coming from a scotch as well.
Normally, you would normally think it's a bourbon. Mm-hmm. Almost always a bourbon.
Back to the blurb. Mm-hmm. Highland Park Cash Strength is about more than just high-octane thrills. Like Chelsea. Unencumbered by an age statement, master whiskey maker Gordon. Oh, please, yes. This is. I hope this is his last name's Motion. Gordon Motion. I love it. Was free to paint batch 4 with flavor in mind, using a vivid palette of sherry, seasoned European and American oak, bourbon, and refill casks. Then, in a twist, adding port casks for a daring new streak of flavor. In the distillery's 225th year, Motion's stellar accomplishment... That's what I called my third child. integrates expressive notes of pink grapefruit and exotic spices within a deep well of citrus dark chocolate and heathery peat smoke.
She is... big.
It's massive flavor, and it drags you all over the place too.
But it's really good.
It's wild.
This whiskey is fucking wild. There's big heat on the back end. There definitely is. I mean, it's a not for the faint of heart.
It doesn't stick. It didn't stick with me too terribly long.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of port. I told you I love those kind of port and sherry cask finishes, mm-hmm. because they kind of tone that down a bit. It actually kind of leveled out in me pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
This is good.
It's really fucking good.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was the year of cash strength for Scottish whiskey particularly. Mm-hmm. I would assume they're following the trends that bourbon has set, mm-hmm. that bourbon was doing a lot of cash strength stuff and not necessarily keeping up with the Joneses because Scotch was doing it first. But they're probably saying, people like high octane. Maybe we should be doing some high octane. People don't necessarily care about an age statement. A lot of Scottish whiskeys are starting to get away from age statements.
Well, their biggest losses, I think, in Scotch, seeing as I sell a fair few of them, has been in the core line of everyday available products.
Right.
Are the biggest losses, hands down. And I think that this sort of trend towards single barrel sales to individual stores, like I saw my first ever single barrel Scotch sale at Allview.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, about a year ago when they got that Glenachie or whatever it was.
Which we have.
But it's one of those, like, I think it's, we need to reintroduce people to Scotch, and if this is what they're looking for, let's go ahead and do this. You know, like you said, they've released them before. It's just I've never really come across them. It may be something more available in Scotland than it is here typically, but over the last year or so, I've seen more and more of these pop up, and they are fucking delicious.
Oh, God, yeah, they are. They're really good. And Highland Park is just a quality company.
Yeah,
it's part of the Edrington Group, so who does the Macallan and Glenrothes and Brugal Rum.
Glenrothes, isn't it?
What's that?
Is it Glenrothes? What's the name?
Yeah, Glenrothes. My apologies. And also they do Grouse's, their blend.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Wyoming whiskey as well is theirs, too. I was actually drinking some Highland Park today at the Baltimore Bartenders Guild.
Nice.
Yeah, we were doing a little bit.
How many guild meetings is that for you in the last 2 weeks?
One actual meeting, but that was the other one was a staff was a training. Oh, but yeah, it's I would be going to the DC one next week, but they ended up doing it this week, which kind of sucked. I wanted to get to the DC one. I was going to be talking about a kind of what it is we do. You know, we're not just a credit card. What how it is we work with a brand and stuff like that, and would have been a nice discussion to be around for. And
if y'all already supported us, you probably would have came to dinner last week
when I was trying to give you bottles and free gift cards and all kinds of shit. You know, that's how it works. Yeah, this is bloody fucking delightful. You can still find it. It is out there. Because let's face it, this isn't something that, unless you're really a Scotch drinker or you collect this list, you're probably not necessarily clamoring or looking for, necessarily.
It might be something that's not even on your radar.
Yeah. Big, smoky, little bit of that iodine peat, but not a ton. A lot of fucking flavors.
They said heathery smoke,
yeah,
which I tend to agree with.
Yeah.
Yeah, heather, give you that. For those that don't know, heather is a, would you call it a botanical, probably, that grows in the Scottish hillsides.
Yep. Mel, do you need a little bit more?
Sure.
For me, it's kind of reminiscent of lavender, but not as intense. Does that sound about
that's a good call.
Right? This is fucking good. I'm into this.
Yeah, if you are into Scottish whiskeys or high proof whiskeys at all, this is an absolute must fucking buy. It is really goddamn good. Sorry, Russ.
Yeah, that's good. Always remember to drink responsibly.
I was gonna say you can't be angry at Russ. They lost too. So. Ooh,
that's bad.
That was woo. There you go.
There it is.
Much better. That was ugly.
It was.
Oh, and we're gonna get into ugly. That's our gun. We open with the weekend. City winning and putting themselves at the top of the table. All Liverpool and Arsenal had to do was just hold serve. Not so fast. Manchester City 5, Luton 1, Palace 1, Liverpool 0, Aston Villa 2, Arsenal 0. Honestly, was not an easy first half for City at all. They were getting lots of shots, but they weren't putting much on target to start.
No, but ultimately, at home against Luton, the question wasn't if, it was how many. And that eventually proved to be the case, yeah. Honestly. Luton obviously got their consolation after the double substitution by Pep and the entirety of the City squad switching off at the exact same time for absolutely no reason and allowing Ross Barkley one of the easiest goals he'll ever score in his career.
I do need to ask you one question. Okay. Is Hashigawa now the new about face?
Could be.
Coming the new own goal well, king.
It hit him right in the face when it went in. Yeah, that was my next point, was it really didn't take long for Hashioka's goal
to
get worse.
Yeah, just like, whoop, nope.
Yeah, second minute own goal from him. I think it is a bold choice to dye the hair that color when you're that bad.
Yeah, you don't want to bring attention to yourself.
Normally, players dye their hair to draw attention to themselves for a transfer. Hey, look at me, I'm doing well.
Yeah.
But this is his second own goal in as many weeks. And I think only the third week or so, maybe fourth week with this hairstyle.
Mm-hmm.
Not a fan.
Maybe go back to original color there.
Could be. Yep.
Ain't nobody need to know. That's for damn sure.
No. No, no, no.
And honestly, let's face it. You had mentioned, you hinted at the lone bright spot with Barkley, but the second half was all City.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, just complete domination at that point.
You had a couple of screamers. You had Kovacic and Gvardiol, obviously. Mm-hmm. You had the penalty from Haaland. And then an individual piece of absolute brilliance from Doku. Just turning defenders inside out, Hashioka being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But just what amazing, fantastic run. Good feet, good balance, good strength. At one point he was pushed, kept his feet. And then just the finish to boot, it was absolutely brilliant from Doku. Obviously, those were not in order of when they happened, but yeah, it was. I mean, what a performance! It fills you with dread yet again, doesn't it?
City find themselves on top of the table, and you're like, oh no, not fucking again!
Right. Well, that's what makes me more mad at Villa, and I'll tell you why when we get there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll get there in a moment. Now for Luton, the bad part there is you don't gain any ground. Like, you're running out of matches. Yeah. Yes, you've got a couple at home that should be winnable. You've got Brentford at home. You got Everton at home. You think you can win both of those, or at least you have to win both of those if you're going to survive. But you are running out of opportunities now, Luton.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. However, I would say they did gain a little ground, if I can...
Oh, on goal differential? Yeah, but they're still behind us, so.
I know. For now.
Yeah.
They still have to play you.
Forest isn't, but that's part of where we're going to get to that when we get to
Luton's Oso. At a minus 24, you're at a minus 16. So if they beat you 6-0 again, they're right there.
Yeah.
Which apparently you have the propensity to do.
Yeah, you know, clearly. Clearly. Done it once, it'll happen again.
I'm
that's
not going to be
sure.
The only one sad today.
Oh, I'm...
Okay? I'm dragging your bitch ass right down with me.
See, the difference is I'm used to disappointing performances, so I'm just kind of meh to it, right? Where you, it's like this has crushed your entire world, and you probably lost the league, and you're fucking hating yourself
probably
for it.
Probably not.
Yeah. Okay, very good. Not a good week for Liverpool at fucking all.
No.
And both of them, including the European one, both at Anfield. That's bad.
First time since 2021 they've lost consecutive games at Anfield.
Ooh.
In any capacity. I know these two games were in separate competitions. In any capacity, they have not lost consecutive games at Anfield for 3 years.
So the match was really frantic, right, despite the scoreline. Mm-hmm. But there was a couple of opportunities, but it felt like Liverpool was just disjointed.
Yeah, so they've gained more points from losing positions than any other club in the league this season. I think 27 was that number that
also
I heard the announcer
scored
say.
The most goals in
the second half
in
or something.
Extra time.
Or extra time.
After
the
90 minutes than any other team. Like, you're expecting them to somehow figure it out, and they just never did.
In injury time, So you saw it in the game against United. Kwanzaa's back pass to Bruno in that second half that allowed him to shoot from inside a center circle and mm-hmm. score. You saw the Liverpool players deflate. We spoke about it last week. That's mm-hmm. how it went, right? Do you think it was that bad that it absolutely fucking wrecked everyone?
I mean, it might have, honestly.
I mean, I hate to put that on the young lad, but Jesus Christ, it's been a bad week.
It really bad.
I mean, and Jurgen Klopp, there was no excuses. And if you looked at the post-press conference for the post-match press conference to the loss at Atlanta, the 3-0, he was like, I didn't even know my team could play this bad.
Yeah.
Like, he's, I'm just perplexed. Like, he wasn't, there was no excuse. There was no bullshit. There was no nothing. He was like, I didn't even know we had this in our locker.
Yeah. I mean,
no idea.
Atlanta flat out whooped them.
Oh, yeah. Now, they also didn't play, and I know we're not a Europa League show, but this, in context, this is important. They didn't play their worst 11 ever. They didn't, like, sub out everybody, but they definitely didn't play their strongest 11.
Right.
Thinking they could probably win. And by the time the other guys came on, Mohamed Salah's first two touches were shots on goal.
Right.
But he's just not hitting at the moment.
No.
And so many players were injured, you know, or missing a piece here or there. Now everybody's fit. Szoboszlai was out for, 3 months?
Mm-hmm.
You had, or 2 months or something. You had Endo was out for a few games. You had McAllister at one point was out for a few games. So all of these various changes and stuff, that actual starting 11 hasn't played together properly for about 4 months.
The other thing.
And it looked like they had just met. If you had told me that this game, like, if I woke up from a coma and you were like, this game was August 31st, second game of the season, I'd be like, yeah, fair enough. A lot of new players there. They don't know each other yet. Makes sense. But it's not.
Right.
It's in April.
Yeah.
And they've been playing together since August.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Here's thing for you. Both keepers end up making kind of worldies and not really realizing that they made worldies.
Yeah, no shit. So did fucking Emi Martinez.
Yeah.
Accidentally world class.
Because
a lot of them.
There was the one off the line that Henderson got that I don't even think he...
Three.
Yeah.
I think he had.
Well, and then there was a bunch off the line from the defense from Palace.
Uh-huh.
And then there was the chance for Mateta to make it 2-0.
And Andy Robertson.
That was on purpose, though.
Well,
there was the Andy Robertson one, but then there was also the one with Allison where he was completely falling away and just...
Just flung an arm up. Yeah.
Flung an arm up and knocked it away. You're like, Jesus. Again, for the scoreline, this match was frantic. Not to say that it was good, because it was not a good match. But it was
It had good moments, but overall it was not a good match. But I don't know if you remember John Stones' clearance off the line, where, you know, that ball was just barely still had touching the line there. Andy Robertson's was just as fucking good.
Yeah.
That run back. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's, as a defender, like, in my life, just like, see, I got a huge boner from that, and I don't like them.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's fucking, that's the shit you live for as a defender. Yeah,
what you live for.
That's
right
fucking
there.
Awesome.
Now, the, for Liverpool, do we think that they're going to have an answer, or are they starting to really fade?
I think they're starting to fade. I think the Klopp announcement came at an odd time. We said it at the time.
Yeah.
As soon as things started to not go their way, I think you saw them starting to get worse and worse and worse.
Oh, now the pressure is definitely on, because you're like, you know, we can't win FA Cup. We have to somehow put four past Atalanta without them scoring.
Right.
You know, and
in Italy, that's going to be hard to do, man. I mean, it's not impossible. Liverpool have goals in the team, but
how many times have we seen them do that? They did that against Barcelona,
well,
famously.
That's true.
You know,
that's fair.
They
and that was
to
a better Barcelona
kind of
side than this Atalanta side.
Yeah, very true. And the one thing I will say, and you're right by saying if this was the second week of the season, you'd believe it more, but old Kristen Bull's got one of these in him a year. It's either against Liverpool or against City. They have one of these a year. They figure out a way once a year to pull this shit off.
They've been such shite over the last 2 months. There was like no wins in 5 or 7 or something. I can't remember what they said.
Once they got the new coach in, I think there's been a little bit more success to the team.
Well, they've looked better, but they've still lost games.
They did get one win in that time with him. They did get one, because they got one right after they drew Everton.
Yeah, I'm saying in their last 5 or 7,
yeah,
whatever the stat was, because he came in probably, what, 9 games ago?
Yeah.
Roughly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no wins in 5 or 7 games. I just didn't see it after, as we've seen it from Liverpool, same way we've seen it from City. Whenever they have a setback, there's usually a massive response and somebody going to get hurt, a real
and
bad.
And there wasn't one.
And I was sold on it. I was talking to the business about it, and we were talking about what we were betting this weekend, and I was like, man, I'm putting fucking money on the over 3.5 in Liverpool.
Yeah.
Like, solid a score, over 3.5, like, they're going to have this, like, yeah, because they have to have that response from Thursday.
Right.
And I truly believe that was coming. And they just, again, looked like they hadn't met before.
Yeah.
It looked like their first or second game together ever. And I've never seen anything like that, because normally over the history of Klopp's career there, we've gotten a response from those setbacks. Right.
Of course.
And we just didn't. Especially at home. That was the other thing.
That's if what's so baffling.
At, yeah, if they were at Palace, it's okay, maybe there's a sliver of an argument for that.
Right.
But at home?
Back-to-back
stale
performances. That's weird, really man. Tough. All you had to do was win, and you're back at the top of the table. And honestly, you look great in the first half. The only thing that happened in the first half is you didn't score any goals.
But that's it.
That was Emmy made a couple of really big saves, but you guys were far and away the better team. And if you listen to, like, the Robbies at halftime, they're like, oh, yeah, Arsenal's going to find a goal. Arsenal looks great. The they're looking great.
At halftime, I put $10 on a correct score, Arsenal 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
At halftime.
At halftime, I looked at Sam and said, I don't want to do a halftime update because Arsenal's going to come back and murder us.
I was too fucking nervous.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not doing it. There's no way. Arsenal's going to come out of that locker room pissed off.
A team like Villa.
And Villa came out of the locker room.
A team like Villa that are very good, but there's so much narrative there, right?
With Emery's got your number.
With
Emery's got your number, too.
It was the first time he's won in the Emirates in his last 5 games. That includes his time as Arsenal manager.
Well,
but
second time we've beat you this year, though.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. The narrative of Unai Emery against, obviously, his former team, us. And then you've got the all the speculation with us wanting to buy Douglas Luiz, rather. And then him being suspended.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add in all the Emi Martinez shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know,
the two chances.
One of Saka's three things should have come off.
Yeah.
Right.
Number one, because they have over the last 6-8 weeks. More often than not.
Yeah.
And they were just a sliver wide.
Mm-hmm.
The Jesus header was a big one where I think he saw it late, but it was pretty much a free header and he put it just wide down to the left.
Yeah.
On the far side. And then the Trossard chance. You take two out of the three of those, you're 2-0 up at halftime at home.
You're walking
to the end of the game. But you let a team like Villa, who's good enough, you let them stay in it, they're going to figure you the fuck out. And they did, because the second half, we had nothing. He ended up subbing off Odegaard, subbing off Saka to protect them for the midweek.
Yeah.
And then we lost all impetus on top of not really having any impetus in the second half anyway.
I was a little surprised when they brought on Leon Bailey and you guys pulled Ben White but kept Zinchenko on. I was like, why didn't you guys go a little more defensive?
And it wasn't even his fault. It wasn't even his fault.
Yeah, but it just that felt like a fatal mistake.
But you know who was on the far stick when that happened, when Leon Bailey had his chance, was Declan fucking Rice.
Yeah.
He was the one that, I guess, should have been marking him via that initial corner because
Bailey's
he was the closest one
year.
To him.
And then next thing you know,
it's
Bailey.
It's a good finish.
In post 80th minute, fucking back-to-back goals like that. Boom. Mm-hmm.
Well,
Bailey's
so
Watkins.
I think that the second one, because the last person back was Emil Smith Rowe, I think we went straight panic mode. When Bailey's goal went in, we just went push forward, fuck it.
Yeah, gotta
Why
get
is Emil Smith Rowe the last person back?
Yeah, he's
that
he's
makes
an
no
attacking
sense.
Attacking midfielder or our winger.
So I heard another point from another show that I listened to, and it makes total sense, obviously, in retrospect. There's been so much stoppage time in the Premier League this season. You almost kind of have to pretend that that goal was scored in the 75th minute and you actually have 15 minutes left.
Yeah, you have to think that way.
Minute.
You really do have to think that way.
Because
normally
there was 7-8 minutes of stoppage time in this game.
At least 5 minutes.
Right.
Like on a slow game where everything goes correctly, there's 5 minutes typically left.
So there was no reason to just bomb forward like that and leave everybody so exposed. Because it was, what, about 52 seconds or something between goals, something like that?
It wasn't long.
Yeah. So there's absolutely no reason why everybody should be beyond midfield.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Sure, Billy wants to know why you change Havertz positions when he's been so damn hot.
Going after the game.
Yeah.
To get more attackers onto the field because he has the ability to play midfield.
Oh, shit. I got to fix something.
Mr. Graham, what poison do you want? Pick your poison here, stud.
Barrel age, please.
Barrel age is what we're going to go with. Yep. Okay.
Oh, it fell.
Oh, no, it fell. Not good. Here we are trying to do funny production stuff. Yes, that's right. We got some merch from good old Jepson's Malort there, Mr. Graham.
Nice.
Yeah, so there you go. A little... Malort flag there for you for the rest of the show as she has to pin it up to the wall because it's not clipping. Good. Mel, just would you like the honors?
Malort, will you?
Mel, would you like the honors?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay.
Look at that, Graham.
There you go, sir. A little barrel age for you.
Nice. So do you want to know why I'm mad at Villa even more so than just this game?
Why is that?
Is because I'm looking here, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have a 3 to the positive goal differential over Tottenham, right, as of now.
Mm-hmm.
That's after your 2-0 win. And I guess Tottenham have a game in hand, so I'm less mad at you.
Yeah, but their game's against Chelsea, I believe, is their game in hand.
So you all knew Tottenham going into this game were already 4-0 down. You've already gotten your 100 million off City. Why'd you have to hand him another title, man? You could have just ate it for us and still finished in fourth.
I have a conspiracy theory that maybe Villa and City are in it together. More so than we thought.
Tottenham still have to play Liverpool, City, and us, and you have a much easier go of it the rest of the season.
Dude, I was getting thank yous from Liverpool fans.
For what? Finishing in third isn't going to do anything for them.
Yeah, it's going to be... And that's the final thing before you take your shot on Malort there, Sam. City now find themselves in the driver's seat, and they don't typically relinquish. When they get they tend not to let it go.
There are some tricky games for them. Brighton away, and the Brighton have a ton of injuries to players that could be important, like Evan Ferguson or Hiro Matoma.
Mm-hmm.
So that's less of a concern. Obviously, us going there and rolling them 3-0 was like much more of a surprise than not really.
Yeah.
So City should have an easier go of that.
Yeah.
To be completely fair, the game, and it sucks to say this out loud, but the game's got to be City traveling to Spurs.
Yeah.
They still in the league have yet to score a goal at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in the league. They did it in the FA Cup, but in the league they have not yet. And you got to hope with Spurs chasing fourth place, they'll have something to play for. Even though it would help us, getting a draw would be much more, or a win would be much more important for them.
Right.
Now, that being said, we still have our own trip to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Right.
We still have a trip to Old Trafford.
Yeah.
So we still have tricky games.
You have your two biggest rivals very much looking forward to ruining your day.
Yeah.
In their building.
Exactly.
So it is now, tough.
Both of those games, honestly, I ain't fucking worried about them.
Yeah.
Wasn't worried about him before this weekend, not worried about him after this weekend.
Right.
Because we are better than both of those teams.
Right.
I think we got the jitters. I think we suffered from a situation where going last this weekend and having that pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I think if this game is at 12:30 on Saturday, it's a very different story.
Okay.
Because we're still also quite young. I mean, that's another piece of it. We are quite young. If you go through the entire squad, how many trophies are there? Really?
None.
Chelsea's old players and Havertz and Jorginho.
Yeah.
And then Declan Rice with a random, you know, fucking European trophy that didn't exist but 2 years ago.
The McRib. Call it by its Christian name.
You're right.
It's the McRib.
I'm sorry.
Cup.
It's the McDonald's McRib Cup. And other than that, we don't have any trophies in the team. Like
right.
So where you know, these are the things that build winners, these disappointments, and that growing hunger inside to fucking do better and not let this happen. And to get this experience, you have to be in the positions, and we're in the position. So am I throwing the towel in yet? No. Am I disappointed? Am I, like, not super optimistic. Yes.
All right. Well, then do that shot.
But so here we go.
Sharpbelly says that he was listening to a Jordy podcast and delusionally did the math. And,
Jordy.
And guess who's got a minuscule shot at stealing fourth and a smash and grab?
Not happening. Just be happy with finishing above United. Okay?
I will punch a horse if that happens.
Go ahead, Mr. Graham.
Bella Fox.
Yeah. The battle for Europe is heating up as every spot for the McRib, Europa, and the final Champions League spot is still in the balance.
Champions League.
I was messing up the word as I was saying it.
I just saw you went bougie all of a sudden.
No, I was just swallowing spit while I was saying it, if you really need to know.
This is like one time.
Like what you just did right there.
This is like one time my wife pronounced January, January. And I was like, where are you from?
Let me say the fucking scores. Newcastle 4, Tottenham 0, Bournemouth 2, Man United 2, Fulham 2, West Ham 0. Utter and complete domination for Newcastle over Spurs again.
The only consolation for Spurs is that it didn't take as long to get the first goal this time.
Jesus.
But no, I was going to congratulate Newcastle, and then I remembered they have fans like Alan Giannis, Shorebilly, and fucking Tyrell. So,
meh. They just kicked the shit out of him, man.
They did. Honestly, for real, Ezak was fucking just last few weeks, especially, just been on fucking fire, man. Gordon has as well.
I'm really enjoying it. Feels like the goal scoring race is much more engulfed than it has been in a while. Yeah. Like you think about, you know, there for a little while, it was just Kane and Salah back and forth and Mane maybe a little bit out of there. And then last year was just undisputed, right? It was just such a big gap. Yep. And you look now and it's like, you've got Haaland, you got Isaacs, you got Cole Palmer now is right in the fucking thick of it.
Palmer's leading it, I think.
Solanke is right in the fucking thick of it. He's got another close one too.
I
think he's on 19 this season. You know, it's really fun to kind of see that there's a ton of different goal scorers, and it's not like it's all coming from one team. It's very divvied out, and it's all up and down the table too, which is kind of fun to watch.
Oh, that's disappointing. I almost had it.
Okay,
no problem. Almost fucking had it. I did a search for the thing. I want this one. Here we go. This is what I wanted. I'm sorry. Why did this do this? It had the right thing pulled up, and then it fucked off.
All right. Anyways, massive, massive blow for Tottenham. It's a hell of a note for Villa when they move up the table without even playing a fucking game. Like,
yeah, no shit. I mean, that's absolutely true. That's how bad it was for Spurs, though. You know, I mean, that's what keeps happening, and it's weird that they turn in some of these performances, especially like Mickey van der Ven and some of the others. So it was Erling Haaland and Cole Palmer were tied on 20 each now. And you have Ezak at either 19 or 18.
I got it right here.
Yeah,
so you've got Erling Haaland on 20, Cole Palmer on 20, Ollie Watkins on 19, Mo Salah and Ezak on 17, Solanke on 17. And then down at 7th, it's Inspiration for the Children and Jared Bowen, at 15 each. Yeah. Hell of a note. Oh, look at this. Just outside of the top 10, Sam, in 11th.
Probably soccer or something.
No. He's in 9th with 14.
Come on. That's what I'm talking about.
Good old eyes closed together, giant forehead, Chris Wood. Sitting on 11. How about that? Get in, son.
Get yourself a kiwi and make sure you eat the skin.
This is for Newcastle, though. This is the charge you need, right? With all the injuries and all the setbacks this year, getting back to Europe is fucking
huge. It's fucking
paramount
massive
for them.
Well, especially because they need money, right? Until those rules are changed, they do need the funds, right?
Right?
Because the Piff Posse can't just put in anything they want.
Well, the Piff Posse, what they need to do is have a separate group and maybe buy a couple of hotels from Newcastle that they can then just, you know, put back to themselves and give them money. Like, I don't know. Todd Boehly did this fucking week for fucking Chelsea, flat out stating that it was to level things out for PSR.
Nice.
Like, admitted to it. Just went, yeah, that's what I did. I bought a couple of hotels with my old company so that Chelsea could have some more money so we'd be okay with PSR.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, that's how we roll.
Sounds like it's another missed opportunity for Mashiri. I mean, Todd Boehly.
You think we own hotels?
I don't think he owns a pot to piss in.
No, not at all right now. And it sounded like 777 doesn't have a pot to piss in either. Nice. Apparently.
What I would say about this with pertaining to Spurs, if you're getting beat so badly and so comprehensively that Christian Romero is telling his team and everyone else around him to calm down and relax, you've got a fucking problem.
That
there.
Is not a
that
good
is,
sign.
That is the absolute epitome of the time to panic. And, probably need to grab a fire extinguisher.
Yeah. The Cherries absolutely dominated the match against United. United was just opportune. That was really it.
It wasn't even close.
Cherries were the better team. It was not even debatable they were the better team.
So I don't know if you saw my notes on this. We're simpatico here, sir, because I said it's the manner of the goals is what tells the tale between the two teams here for me.
Mm-hmm.
Despite it being a draw,
oh, Solanke, off the steal, Solanke running the young defender one way, then the other way, and then just slotting it home with ease. I mean,
but United, what I'm saying is United's goals were more of a lack of effort, more of a lack of wanting to take responsibility, more of a lack of discipline, of all sorts of things. Bournemouth's were them trying too hard.
Yeah.
The kind of natural reaction, just throw your arm out for the penalty, obviously.
Right.
And then at least two of the swipes at that ball in the goal mouth scramble shouldn't have had kind of penalty scramble.
And then also somehow that ball kind of went up in the air on the first goal, and Bruno flicked it up to himself perfectly. Like, it just kind of seemed lucky.
Yeah. I heard somebody describe that as it looked like everybody was like a kid's game for a second, and then Bruno was the adult sweeping up, which, being the most petulant child in the league, I thought was a funny comparison.
That is a very funny comparison.
When I heard that this morning. But it just, Bournemouth looked more together, looked more comprehensive, looked more assured, looked more a team than United still. And they got a new manager this year.
Yeah.
And United have had the same one for 2.5, almost 3 years.
A new manager, and they started terribly this year.
Oh, yeah.
They were dead last and looked horrible to start the year.
For sure. I also believe that Bournemouth should have had a penalty.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
There is continuation in football.
Yeah, I don't think that was outside the box. I think that was inside the box. I think the defender, as I said, his foot was on the line with the foul, that means he's in the box.
So there's the two pieces, right?
Yeah.
There, I think his foot was on the line as well. Now, when the foul initiated, the offensive player, I think it was Christie, mm-hmm. was not in the box yet. But the defender was,
mm-hmm.
right? Also, there is continuation in football.
Yep.
And contact was still happening into the box. Christie was still on his feet into the box.
Yep.
I think that should have been a penalty. I think that's a scared referee that doesn't want to put his cojones on the line.
Yeah,
is what I think.
I don't disagree.
Well, I'm sorry, VAR.
Yeah.
Because the referee actually blew for the penalty. Initially.
This goes back to what I told you last week, that there's zero, and there's never anything clear and definitive about VAR. And if the whole thing is supposed to be a clear and obvious reversal, if in your match against Newcastle, on three separate occasions, they couldn't find anything that was clear and obvious to overturn the the call on the field, how do you look at that is called a penalty and say there is something so blatantly clear and obvious that it's outside the box? It was not clear and obvious.
No.
You have to go with the call on the field at that point.
But again, much like in the NBA, there is continuation. There was still contact. He'd still not hit the ground yet. Right. I mean,
I'm agreeing with you with that.
No,
yeah.
I know. And as you say, his foot was in the box. I mean, it's a blatant fucking penalty.
Right. You can't say, oh, that was clearly outside the box. It clearly needs to be a free kick and not a penalty when the call was penalty.
Why are you shaking your head?
Here's the biggest thing.
Who said what? You're shaking your head. That's something juicy.
Well, I'll share you. Like, I mean, you really want to be honest with you, or do you want me to like make something up?
Are they just making fun of me? No, it wasn't about this that we're talking about right now.
No,
then keep it rolling. They're a fucking sewing circle. Those three. They just start chatting with one another, and she's amused by it.
They're a sewing circle.
You know what? Brilliant. It's her new fucking farm
it
game. Okay, is watching them type.
I like it when we can see producer Mel in the little window, and you can see her react to the shit we write.
See, there you go. See, I told you it was all about her.
Yeah
Graham. Fuck off. From now on, it's not all about you. It's all about fucking producer Mel.
No,
it would do you good to know that.
She's having fun with her new toy of seeing the chats.
There is a good chance, Mr. Graham, a very good chance, United might not be in Europe next year.
Yeah, there absolutely could be. And it would be the first time since us a couple years ago, and then another first time since Chelsea last year, which is more recent. So
Fulham is impossible to figure out.
I know.
They are so all over the place right now. You're comfortably safe. Isn't this when you're normally supposed to kind of fuck it off?
Yeah, right?
Like, they're just so weird right now.
When Antonio skied that chance on 3.5 minutes or so from the penalty spot that he, so far this season, when he's been fit, is buried.
Yeah.
I thought at least this just isn't going to be West Ham's day, is it?
Yeah.
It's just going to be one of those days, especially because about 3 minutes later, Andreas Pereira from a similar position did not fucking sky.
No, he scored.
West Ham really did fuck all the rest of the game, honestly. There was a chance here or there. Leonard, I think, made 2 saves total. Yeah. It was really all Fulham.
Comfortable 2-0, you know?
I want to say they had 10 shots on target.
Yeah, yeah. They completely outplayed them. And now here's the thing, you know, West Ham.
I think they wasted this performance to not beat Liverpool at Craven Cottage, goddammit.
So now that you have, you know, West Ham now finds themselves on the outside looking in because of what Newcastle has done. But they ain't that far behind United. And United, like you've mentioned, United's still got to play you.
Yeah.
Like, that ain't easy. Uh-uh. Like,
even at home, it's not easy.
Yeah. I mean, they still got some tough matches left, and they're not convincing at all. So it could be West Ham and Newcastle, and United find themselves in eighth place. And both in the Champions League and in all the European competitions, Villa's well ahead in the McRib, right? But West Ham and Liverpool are both in the hole, and you and City are both on draws, but going to their buildings, and it's no small feat. You got to go to Bayern. They have to go to fucking Madrid, right? Like, eighth place might not get that extra spot, because I'm not so sure any English teams other than maybe Villa is winning a fucking European Cup this year. It's looking at where they are now in the quarters, it's not looking good for any of them, I would say.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm completely with you. And they're so inconsistent at that.
Yeah.
If they can't find any consistency here soon, then they very well could find themselves in one of those positions. Mm-hmm. Because West Ham against Leverkusen, I don't think that you can come back from that.
Well,
I mean, they're
40... Let's also face it, everybody's rooting for Leverkusen now because they're on a fucking... they're undefeated. They're going for a fucking season.
This my closing
is
statements. We'll get on to it. But I'm just saying, on the back of, you're absolutely right, 43 games unbeaten to start the season.
Mm-hmm.
In all competitions, mind you.
Yeah.
I was a little confused when I first read the stat. I had to reread the line because it said in all competitions. I was like, Arsenal went 49 a whole fucking season.
Yeah.
So we had the best start to 2 seasons.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you. In all competitions, this is the most a team has never not lost.
Yeah.
Ever.
Insane.
Yeah.
Fucking insane.
Pretty crazy.
Absolutely insane.
So I don't think West Ham's coming back, even at the London Stadium, to be honest with you. Not that I blame them. Like, Smokey was pissed off about how they played. I'm like, how are you ever going to play?
Right.
I mean,
in their building.
This is the first time in 11 years Bayern didn't win the Bundesliga title or some shit.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it was.
You just go in there and try to hang on.
What did you think you were going to do?
Right.
Right.
You faced the wrong team.
This is one thing you can't be mad at. And this is what happens when you get to the business end of competitions, right? Is you run into teams that are also fucking good.
Yeah.
A lot of times better than you.
Yeah.
And it's how you deal with it. Now, 2-0, can they overcome it? Yeah. Will they? No. Fuck no, they won't. But yeah, no, it's going to be a very interesting run-in for those Champions League and Europa League spots back and forth.
Rounding out the rest of the league, and oh, so that happened. Brentford 2, Sheffield 0, Burnley 1, Brighton 1, Forest 2, Wolverhampton 2, Chelsea 6, Everton 0. Ugly fucking match, but the Bees figure out a way to win. That was not a fun watch.
The best part of the entire game was that Ali Airblaster had an own goal, and he's got the best name in the Premier League.
That's, yeah, I mean, really not much to talk about.
A 2-0 away loss from Sheffield United. I can't really be asked anymore.
Yeah.
It's that part of the season where I just don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Brentford played fine.
And for me, for for Sheffield, I want them relegated as soon as humanly possible, because I eventually play them in our building, mm-hmm. and I need them to not care. Well, I need them to not fucking care anymore.
You want them not relegated, but you want them, because they still have to play. Oh, no, I think maybe you might be the only one.
We're the second to last game that we play them in. So yeah. By then, I want them relegated. I want them not to care.
Yeah.
That's what I really, because we're gonna probably need that game. Down the stretch, we are going to probably need that game.
I think they will care no matter what for that particular game, because besides us, you are the longest active streak in the top flight right. In Europe.
Bring us down with them,
and
kind of
what
attitude.
They can say is they will remember us forever as the infamous, right? They're the guy that shot the president. You know what I mean?
Very fair. You very feel fair. Me?
I think that's a dangerous spot to be in if they're already down for you
that
particular day.
Burnley just unable to get out of their own way, man. They get the 1-0 lead and then fuck it off.
Dude, both of these teams fucked it off.
I'll get to my thought on Brighton in just a moment, but
both goals were mistakes. They were both, and pitiful mistakes.
Yeah.
I mean, Estupiñán with the fucking little dinky pass back with his front two studs instead of a proper pass allowed what's his name, I can't even say, Brownhill allowed Brownhill to close the goalkeeper down because it was a terrible back pass. And then you had the stupid Murich. What are you doing with his two studs that apparently were holograms, because I'm not sure how that ball got past him. He was fucking looking at it.
It's funny because there was rumblings for Trafford to be sat because he was making too many mistakes as a young keeper, and then you have this fucking happen.
And also Murich, and what made it kind of apparent was how goofy his recovery was after he fucked up, but he may be the longest man in the league since Peter Crouch. Just like lanky fucking long shit. Like it just looked like Slender Man running after something. It was fucking ridiculous.
Real quick on the Seagulls. Honestly, the Seagulls just look fucking tired, dude.
Yeah, they just look fucking tired.
Like
I said, they've always had a policy of rotation and all that kind of stuff. And like another guy you've never heard of. I think the well has dried up.
Yeah.
And where's, you know, I know they're injured, but Ferguson and Matoma are huge misses.
Yeah.
I mean,
It's probably a good thing that they're both hurt right now, because they likely won't get sold in the summer.
Yeah. I mean, that's true.
Because they're probably losing De Zerbi, because if they don't lose De Zerbi to Liverpool, they're going to lose him to somebody.
Yeah. Could be.
And if they don't get into Europe, and they don't get into Europe, which they're probably not getting into Europe.
But like, the two of them especially have so many goal contributions between them for that first part of the first half of the season that I really feel like that's what they're missing.
Yeah, agreed.
Is there something behind me?
No, your flag's starting to fall, and I just noticed it. It's the sticker that holds it up is falling off. It's okay, Mel. Don't touch it.
It's definitely at a Malort angle.
Yeah, it's just hanging on by a
thread.
I've
never covered up either one of your crests, and you lost 6-0. Where's your fucking Malort coverage?
Because it's her doing it to you. I had nothing to do with that. That was 100% producer Mel, sir. She just asked me
her
for the fucking
won,
flag.
Penis.
She asked me for the fucking flag, and I gave it to her. I permanently have Malort.
But it's never covering.
All times.
It's never covering your crest.
Yeah.
When you talk about your game, just hold that in front of your camera.
Yeah,
and I'm not even going to talk.
Go right ahead. Forest and Wolverhampton. You know what? Of all the matches that went, this was probably one of the most entertaining ones.
It was Helter Skelter's
fun
fuck.
Fucking game.
It was Helter Skelter's
amazing
fuck this game.
What happens when Mateus Cunha is healthy, huh?
I know,
he scores
right?
fucking goals.
Well, that's what I said on our friend Paul's podcast, yeah. that part of the reason we were late is I was doing the they do an opposition preview, obviously, mm-hmm. of their yep. upcoming week.
Yep, and a whole lot of Wolves.
Arsenal play Wolves this weekend, so they asked me to be on. And I've said it to you over the years. It usually with Chelsea, there's a couple of teams that it feels like it happens against frequently,
mm-hmm.
where, oh, wow, everybody just magically is healthy for Arsenal.
Right.
Cunha, full game under his belt, 2 goals.
Yeah.
Perfect warm-up for us.
Yeah, great warm-up for you.
Yeah.
Like, fucking great.
Can't fucking wait. And that is going to be reflected in my bet, by the way.
I was
going
to say, watch Wang be on the fucking bench next week.
It's just
ready
like,
to go.
What? Why? Why? Everybody else got to face everyone super depleted, but we can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know
precisely.
What I mean? It's just like, what the fuck? But yeah, no. Wolves and Forest were both good in certain stretches and both really bad at the same time.
Yeah.
There was some football from both sides that I haven't really seen. That poorly. But at the same token, they both produce these kind of moments that were great and lucky at the same time and awesome and fun.
I think that's twofold. I think in the case of Wolves, it's just the fact that they have so many fucking people hurt that there's just mistakes in their game right now.
Yeah, it could be.
But on the case of Forest, I think they're so fucking nervous right now that they're prone to make mistakes because they're trying to, stay in it. And
yeah.
And they just are making major gaffes at times.
Now, Morgan Gibbs-White, playing like a man possessed.
Absolutely.
Against his former club. Came up, spent 9 years at Wolves, by the
yep,
way.
Yep, yep.
Against his former team. Most of that being youth time, but did make over 60 appearances for the first team.
Mm-hmm.
Scored, ran over to his fans, said, "Give me a second." Turned to the Wolves fans and went, "Can't fucking hear ya."
Oh, man.
Just like, normally you get a subdued reaction for your former yeah. club, especially the one you came up at. Think mm-hmm. of, like, Arsenal and Cardiff have no rivalry. I think it was an FA Cup match, or it might have actually been in the Premier League, and Cardiff might have already been relegated, actually, right. And Aaron Ramsey scored. But that's where he came up. He kind of just went, like, hold my hands up, thank you, yeah, I scored, to the home fan, or to the traveling Arsenal support, and then walked away, right? Okay, fine, no problem. Mort gives up, he's like, fuck that, fuck you, bitch! It just went hard. Loved it.
Old Wayne Rooney didn't do that when he scored for Manchester United against Everton.
Right.
He gloated right in front of the Gladys yeah. Street. And then what did Sir Alex do? Sub his ass right off
yeah.
immediately.
Nuno Espirito Santo did not do that.
No.
Actually, confirming his new name, Nuno Espirito Diablo.
Yeah, no shit.
The opposite of St. Mel, the devil.
Cole Palmer dismantled Everton early. I mean, it wasn't even in question. By the 29th minute, the match was fucking over.
Bro.
Everton showed nothing.
Bro. So I wrote the sentence, I just can't really believe what I just saw, honestly. That's the first thing. The only stat I wrote down here is Cole Palmer himself
mm-hmm.
had 5 times the shots on target Everton did.
Yeah. And he scored 4 of them.
He had 5 shots on target, scored a perfect hat trick inside 30 minutes.
Fucking Jesus. I mean, it's the Scandinavian hat trick.
I think you got the Scandinavian hat trick.
We absolutely
did. He is taking a
did.
Shit in your mouth right now.
Dirty Mike and the boys did a number on the car there, man. That's for damn sure.
It was bad, dude.
Oh, my God. It was absolutely god-awful. It was god-awful.
I totally get you. Like losing 1-0 or 2-0, but you had the whole play in the first half. Like, I'm pissed off, but I've been on the end of a 4-0 or 8-2. Perfect yeah. example, 8-2 against Manchester United. Yeah, Wayne Rooney had the dive. There's all this mm-hmm. kind of stuff. By the end of it, I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, this is just gonna be one of those days.
Yeah,
doesn't matter. You know, it was just kind of one of I understand your point. As much as I want to give you shit for it, I completely understand your point. Where it's just like, you know what?
The game was over by halftime. It's finished. We need to fucking forget about it. It's the next three are at home. Now, granted, one of those is a Merseyside Derby, right? But it's we've got Forest next. That is fucking monster, especially considering now that goal differential is gone.
Yep.
We're level on goals on goal differential with them. Still ahead of Luton, but level with goals on them. And then it's the Merseyside Derby, and then it's Brentford. And then it's at Luton, home to Sheffield, and then you guys. It's 1,000% in our hands.
Yep.
So we have to fucking win games. That's what it comes down to.
Yep.
We didn't win today. We look like absolute dog shit. I mean, I don't think I've... Other than the time, the very first full match I watched of Everton was with you, Everton Arsenal, and you kicked the ever-loving shit out of us. I think it was a 7-1 loss. Fucking dismantled us, right?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen us look that bad in a match ever.
What makes me really nervous is you have veterans like Ashley Young, Tarkowski, you know, on the field. You have Dwight McNeil, who's been in the league a fair few years, despite him being relatively young, 26 or 28 or whatever it is. You've got Jack Harrison, who's seen a fair few things, but, you know, was in the league for two seasons, now three seasons, you know, before he came over from MLS back to Manchester City and then sold on. You've got, you know, Onana, who's been there a couple of years. You've, like, people know the fucking league. You've got DCL, who's been in the league.
Well, DCL was out today but from injury.
Right. So you've got Decore, who's been in the league and performed well. You've got all these players. And Sean Dyche has made his reputation on being organized, on being hard to beat, on being, you know, difficult to break down and all sorts of shit. And you looked, honestly, so bad that I'd be very fucking concerned, man.
Because if
he can't get... And Tarkowski, like, especially played with him for most of that time.
I will... Like, if there is the slightest silver lining, and this is me just trying to put on blue-colored glasses and find something in it, the second half, a lot of cynical fucking tackles, couple of yellow cards. At least the boys were just like, fuck you, I'm going to hit you.
That was only
like,
four.
At least there was some kind of fuck you, you know. Yeah. And on the goal that the 18-year-old scored, which is funny because we're watching and Mel's like, why is he celebrating the way he is? 18-year-old first goal for Chelsea. She's like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
I think it might have been his debut.
Yeah, it was his debut.
Academy product as well. Like,
just call Everton training wheels.
Just been there since he was like nine or something. Yeah. Oh, do you want a line with that?
Yeah, well, I've had enough of these. That's for damn sure. It was just so fucking bad. There's really nothing you can say. Like, and don't look now, Chelsea are not that far off of Europe either. They're only 3 points back, and they got a game in hand. So they're not completely out of it. They could backdoor their way in. I don't think they will. I think they're just so fucking inconsistent. I think they'll probably fuck it off this weekend against City, or they'll beat City in the FA Cup semis. And then fuck it off in their midday game.
Yeah.
Midweek game, I mean.
For sure.
We have this propensity for putting ourselves right into these kind of problems. I just have to hope that over the next, you know, like the last two seasons, we figure out a way to fucking bail ourselves out.
Yeah, while you take your shot, I do have another little piece of silver lining for you. It makes sense that an academy product of Chelsea, one that scored his first goal and vigorously celebrated the sixth goal in a 6-0 defeat, was a skinhead. By choice. Not saying anything. Just saying.
Sure money.
Dirty. I lost again.
Yeah, no shit.
I can't.
What are you at now?
I don't care. -1847. Last season, I didn't win a single bet. This season, I started hot and have been on a big stinker ever since.
Yeah, well,
and
I'm
fucking over it.
Yeah. You gonna do some sensible betting?
No.
Of course
I got worse.
Of course. That's what
I
we
got
figured.
Worse, and I'll tell you about it afterwards. But for now, my cup of losers, I've already said it once when I took my shot of Malort, says, well, Villa fucks.
Yep. Villa does, in fact,
do indeed.
So let's go to you, sir.
Alrighty. The seagulls fucked me, so I am now down $418.
Big Sam's Lock of the Week.
Mr. Graham, did you know that 24.242424424% of the time, it works 100% of the time, they're big boy.
24.24424424. Jesus fucking
the
Christ.
Numbers don't lie. I have the facts right here.
Public
lots of
school
documents.
Education, they might be off.
Seriously, seagulls, you tied Burnley is what I had for that. You know, I mean, he's beat them.
Chelsea tied Burnley last week. What happened, Sam? You beat Burnley.
I don't know.
In my way downtown, walking fast, I'm a seagull. Go fuck yourself. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
All right, this week I'm taking a 2-game parlay. I'm taking Arsenal and Villa beating Wolves and Bournemouth for plus 140.
Nice. Okay, well done. Yeah. Plus 140, trying to stay up there.
Just trying to stay up there. You know what? I'm going to be ahead of you, and that's all that matters.
And now, it's time for our degenerate gambling friend, Pat's Pick of the Week.
And it's titled 2-Game Parlay Winning Time.
Oh, he's back.
He's back, baby.
So, didn't hit on my bet last week, but I'm not a quitter. Let's get it going before the end of the season. I'm down $1,400. Excuse me. And this week, I'm making a 2-game parlay. Liverpool over Fulham and Villa over Bournemouth. That pays on a $100 bet at $200. Nothing crazy. Just hoping Villa doesn't have a letdown match after their big win Sunday. You guys have a good week, and I'll talk to you next Monday.
Very kiss good.
So that's his. It is the kiss of death.
Oh, what do you got going on there, stud?
What I've got going on is something that's definitely going to happen.
9-way parlay.
No, actually, it's a lot less than normal.
Get it the fuck together, Sam.
I tried to hit that button five times. It didn't work. That's the reason why there was a big pause.
I would have gotten the next two sentences out and wouldn't have coughed if you found it properly. So like I said, I'm down $1,847. So I'm not only going to erase my debt, but go up
Grammy folding.
But go up $1,100 at the end of it, because this, what I'm about to tell you, will get me plus $2,956. $2,956 on a $100 bet.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. Luton or a draw with Brentford at home. Okay, Luton's at home. Mm-hmm. Brentford still don't look particularly good.
Right.
Luton have been playing well, so I think Luton or draw is a good shout. Burnley to beat Sheffield away. Burnley have looked better than Sheffield in recent times, especially away from home. I think back to the 2-2 against Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
Forest or draw with Everton.
Okay.
Now, this is me putting the needle in a bit.
Uh-huh.
They looked better in their game than you did in your game, obviously. So it might have been a little bit of recency bias.
Not good gambling.
But I think Forrest might do something at Goodison Park. And then Arsenal to win. Okay. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Arsenal to win against Wolves. Both teams to score, but there'd be under 4.5 goals still.
Okay. So you're thinking like a
2-1, 3-1. Arsenal win. Okay. So all of that. So that's an Arsenal 3-3 way. Luton or draws 4. Burnley to beat Sheffield is 5. And Forest, it's only 6. That's fine. Plus 2956, like I said. So I'm throwing caution to the wind. Fuck it. And I'm going hard here.
Bless your cotton dick.
Thanks.
Yeah, there you go. That's you. You throwing the old needle on to me. I appreciate that. I will very much enjoy watching your bet fail, because, you know, I'll be
go
the part of your bet that fails.
Okay.
Yeah. Love it.
Not going to win.
Yeah. Going to win. Going to win.
Or draw. If you draw, that's good for you. And I still win.
We're going to win. We're going to win.
Okay.
Going to be an ugly 1-0.
Should have bet that then, if you're that confident.
No, I'm bet.
I'm not that confident.
I bet guaranteed winners that never hit each week. But you know who has normal winners all the time and is going to finish better than both of us? The fucking chicken.
Kitty missed with the bees, and so she sits at 17 and 14. So this week, I gave Kitty Villa hosting Bournemouth. Now, she showed me a screenshot of the midweek McGrid Cup of William and his son, George. But wasn't William schooling his son on why Villa fucks? It was Kitty.
Holy shit, Kitty telling the boy about how Villa fucks.
Well, wouldn't you know it, Kitty is definitely picking Villa to beat the Cherries.
There you go. You like that?
That's you like that too?
Hold on. If
I don't, I'm not
Kitty's
looking into it.
Kitty's teaching about the birds and the bees. Wouldn't it be Villa to pop the cherries?
could be.
You know, if somebody was a better writer, we could have got more laughs.
Well, no, Kitty doesn't pair Ghostwriter a lot.
Here's what I do know. King William, future King William, would certainly agree to is always gamble legally and responsibly.
Very good.
Lost the plot halfway through that.
That's okay. She wasn't ready for where that one was going, was she?
I'm just more concerned about my chicken having sex talk with
a royal.
Second in line to the throne.
Talking about Villa. That's what she was talking about. Like, Villa fucks. I mean, Villa, that's what they do.
Fuck. Villa,
you know?
Fucked in France. And you also could have fucked in Anfield.
I'll tell you something. You could have wrote a Brentford Villa parlay.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about the bees and then the popping of the cherry.
Yeah, very true.
Sure, Billy. Villa fucks. Arsenal season. Oh, too soon, Shorebelly. That was one sign too much.
Can't hear you from down there.
Mr. Graham, any
somebody, in this duo here, Shorebelly, is going to be in the Champions League next season.
Mr. Graham, any parting words?
Yeah, so there's two. I'll start with something sad, and then we'll go to... there's three. Two things happy. The sad one, I do want to mention and send well wishes to the very young West Ham player who was knocked out by Emerson's hip.
Mm-hmm.
That was very bad.
I did forget to bring that up in the second segment.
Yeah, his name is George Earthy, is his name. He was running back towards the ball from a relatively offensive position. Emerson was coming up from the back. The ball was around the center circle. Emerson jumped. There's a couple Fulham players involved as well. Emerson jumped, chested the ball kind of forward, passing both. His hip ended up colliding with the head of Earthy.
Mm-hmm.
He goes down in a heap, just like straight away.
Yo, back, yeah, like flat.
Superman flat. And then about 5 seconds.
It felt
like 15 seconds. His arms just shot up in the air, like all... goofy.
Like where when you see that, you're like, oh fuck, did somebody just break their fucking neck?
Yeah, brain went haywire. It was scary. A 19-year-old kid making his debut.
Yeah.
Very fucking scary. They tended to him quickly. Emerson himself noticed it, ran away from the ball that he collected, and was just like, stop, just like waving his hands, like trying to help and get him attention. It was really freaky. I just walked up from the basement as the highlights were on for that game.
Right.
It was actually halftime in our game, Mel. And I kept the TV on upstairs in case the baby cried so I didn't have to miss any of the game as I went to get the baby from her nap, right? Always thinking ahead.
Yeah, always thinking.
And the highlights were on, and I just stopped for a second to look as I was refreshing my cocktail. And, yeah.
Weird how you said that.
All right.
Hella zesty.
Should I say it like him? Cocktail.
Cocktail.
Cocktail. The Champions League.
Keep it fucking going now, Killer. And, come on. Now.
No, but I saw his arm shoot up, and I was like, oh, fuck, what's that? And I rewound it and watched it again, and I called you immediately. We just got on the phone.
Yep.
And I called you immediately back and was like, bro, you got to see this. This is nuts. So, you know, he's fine. There hasn't really been an update that I've seen yet other than definite concussion. So we're just...
He's been released.
Yeah.
He's been released from hospital, so that's good. But yeah, so I just wanted to bring that up. And, you know, on your debut, young kid, I just wanted to make mention to make sure that, you know, we send our you know, kind of get well soon.
Mm-hmm.
Because not something you want to see. One very brief funny thing I saw was a meme that surprisingly didn't get shared in our group. Footy Accumulators on Twitter said, who's the most overrated player in the Premier League? And the first response was, it has to be Sterling. He's no better than Nathan Redmond, nowhere near the worth the cash that we paid for him. They responded with, he's been good at spells, though, mate, hasn't he? And then somebody else responded to that comment and said, so was Harry Potter, doesn't make him a decent fucking winger. Which I thought was very funny.
Too funny.
And that should have been brought to the table. And yeah. I'm very disappointed in the rest of you that didn't do it.
Bruce Day is not happy
at all. But the big one, obviously, we are not a European show at all, but it is fucking historic, and we have to mention it because mm-hmm. there has been 120 years of Bayer Leverkusen's existence, and they have won one DFB Pokal, excuse me, the German Cup. They won that in 1992-1993, and they won the UEFA Cup in 1987-1988. Those are the only two major trophies in their history. They were the bridesmaids in the Bundesliga 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, and then also in the Pokal 3 times. But they are on for a treble,
mm-hmm.
not the treble. The right. treble includes the Champions League.
Right, of course.
Which a lot of people are saying the, and it's pissing me off because I'm a nitpicking cunt. But they have won in 120 years. They have not won their own domestic league, and they wrapped it up with 5 games to go against traditionally the most dominant domestic side besides Celtic or Rangers in the history of club football.
Yeah, no
and,
shit.
Did it with 5 games to go. So fucking well done to them. Xabi Alonso took this team over in the middle of last season, and they were second from bottom fighting relegation.
Taylor Thompson says, I don't share memes, I make them. By the way, I like that your arsenal, the force within arsenal is strong because your crest has willed the Malort flag off of it.
Yeah. We're fucking everywhere.
It's now
right?
half on, half off.
Kind of like my pants. But I'm really happy for them. I mean, that's fucking crazy. And obviously, one of their most influential players this season leads a lot of interesting metrics, including touches on the football in the Bundesliga. This year is Granit Xhaka. And well done to him. Obviously, I know that's going to create a stigma, much like Tottenham players leaving them to go win trophies elsewhere. But not even they can do that anymore since Harry Kane left and joined a shoe-in. And didn't do it.
And then figured out a way to fuck it off and not win.
And also, and I'll say it again, and I'll shout it from the mountaintops, figured out a way he's going to finish top scorer and get himself a Cannon trophy.
Yeah. Yep.
Love and, it. Love and, everything about that.
And one of the silver linings for you as a club is hopefully you will be knocking him out of another tournament this midweek.
This week. Yeah. Well, I'm less hopeful about that, to be honest, after the weekend result. It's going to be difficult. But we have won with a worse team in Germany 3-0 before.
Yeah.
It's just that season we lost 4-0 at our place.
That was the problem.
So we'll see what happens. That was back when Thomas Rosicki was there, the little Mozart.
All right, everybody. Next up is injury time, where we're going to preview the weekend's action. We're also going to talk a little bit about our fantasy teams and a bunch of silly shit happened with the Scottish Premier League. Would that shock you to hear?
No.
And of course, we're going to do the EFL show live next, and a lot of shit happened in the Championship, League One, and League Two. So a lot of fun stuff to talk about there too.
Do you want a quick little nugget preview of something fun?
As long as it's not killing the lead.
No.
Okay, please.
Is the lead milk?
No.
There's a milk story in League One.
I love it. Fantastic. And of course, should somebody want to find Injury Time, Sam, how do they go about doing it?
It's patreon.com/DU Football Show to sign up to that $1, $5 tier and get all of our extra content. If you want more of our beautiful faces or charming wit, you're more than welcome to do so. Tell a friend, tell a colleague. Probably don't tell your kids, though.
No, definitely not.
Till next weird over there.
Yeah. Till next week, everybody.
Guten Nacht.
Born in the land of Bowie, Maryland, bred to be a fan of fucking Everton. Punch you in the eye and drink your rye, Sam Houston.
Sam Houston.
Arsenal fans have another Sam. Great AA, the fucking Gooner Graham. Stump of a Lord, looks great in shorts. Sam Grammy.
Sam Graham.
Brooklyn United!
the fucking nuke button.